And welcome once again to another edition of A Plain Answer here at Redeemer Broadcasting. I'm Dan Elmendorf. On the phone line with us today is Dr. John Vance. And Pastor Vance, it's an honor to have you back with us today.
It's my privilege, Dan, truly.
We live in a country that had a great Christian emphasis in its founding, in its beginning. And sometimes I grieve, Pastor Vance, that we seem to have moved from that. And yet there are bright spots, and not all is lost. And sometimes you hear of people coming to the Lord and serving the Lord and maybe setting up a small business and all of that. So all is not lost. We're in a time of change right now in America. I can't speak for others, but I'm very thankful for what appears to be the direction of this change. It's never going to be perfect this side of eternity, but it can be a lot better than what we could have had. But we have inauguration coming up in a couple days. I guess it's the 20th. And I know that you follow the news, and we've seen confirmations going on and various news. So as a Christian pastor, now retired, living in West Virginia, by the way, but very engaged with this culture, what are some of your most recent observations of the goings-on here in America? Pastor Vance.
Well, you mentioned change. Heraclitus, a famous Greek philosopher, he lived before Socrates about 100 years in this. And he reportedly, now this is, of course, a legend, he stuck his foot into the river and he pulled it out and he put it back in, and he observed he couldn't put his foot in the river, same place twice. And he came up with a principle about life: all is change. Mm. We always have change. Sometimes it's fast, sometimes it's slow. But your reference to change reminds me that we're in a fast period of change. Yes. And it unsettles people. As the river flows, it flows slowly sometimes and rapidly sometimes, and then it floods. Seems like we've almost had a flood in recent years of change, and change, I would say, for the most part, away from our founding. The culture that gave us a democratic republic was a different culture, clearly, than the one we have today. It was much more influenced by Christianity. As a matter of fact, it was influenced almost totally by Protestant Christianity. 90% or more of the people who were in the colonies were, as the King of England once said, it was they're the children of Calvin.
Yes.
The rebellious Scotch-Irish. And about 90% of the population was made up of some sort of Reformed or Calvinistic-type Christian, whether it's Episcopal to Presbyterian, Baptist, Congregationalist. And so we have had a tremendous change. They had a sense of raw power could destroy like a flood. And so they put breakers, if you will, on power. And the problem today that I see is, in a real sense, is the concentration of power in the wrong direction. Mm-hmm. Power is like a fire. It can be used for good, to warm your food, cook your food, warm your body, or it can be used to burn your house down, as we see what's happening in California.
Yes.
And so I think we've come to the place where power has been unhinged from our deepest cultural impulses. And going forward, we have to be careful. The states used to be more powerful than they are now, for sure. So I see that in 2025 as being a concern. And I'm hoping, and I'm trusting, and I believe it will be, that power will be wielded going forward for the right cause in the right way.
Yeah. Yeah, that's good.
My prayer, at least.
That's good, yeah. Well, we opened the mic, and we didn't really even know where our discussion was heading. In case, dear listener, you're wondering, it's completely unrehearsed. And before we opened the mic, I was asking Pastor Vance about where he lives there in West Virginia and the elevation and the weather. And it's surprisingly cold right now. I just wanted to add that really quick where you live, Pastor Vance. And maybe you can share with our listeners what it's like outside, and we'll get back to this cultural discussion.
Oh, we have about a foot and a half of snow that's packed down. It was probably around 2 feet, and it's packed down.
Wow.
But we're have had some cold weather, and we're going to have some more. Middle of next week, for 4 days, we will be at zero or below.
Oh, my.
And I'm not looking forward to that.
No,
but
no.
But it's been good. We have pretty hard winters in the mountains, but it's shorter than New York. I would say at least a week or two on each end.
Yeah.
Maybe a week on each end. We have a shorter. I always thought in New York that the winters seemed long, but we jumped into spring pretty quickly. But they're very similar, actually. If you take the Catskills and where I live, they're very similar.
Yeah.
Very similar in weather and even the type of people. So about the same.
Yeah, well, if we here in the Catskills, if I went up to the elevation where you're at, which is very high, actually, compared to what we have, it would get significantly harsher and colder. And, you know, if I was on the top of, let's say, one of the mountains that we're close to, High Point Mountain, it's about 3,000 feet, it would be quite a bit different. When we drive around here in the Hudson Valley, I look up into those mountains when we go over the reservoir, and sometimes you can see it snowing in certain portions of the Catskills, and while you're driving on the reservoir road, there's no snow at all, so it varies a great deal. Well, today we're talking with Dr. John Vance, our dear friend and board member here at Redeemer. Now, you mentioned a little bit about the fires in Southern California, and I'm concerned, Pastor Vance. I see these fires, but then we learn how that they were warned about having water on hand and reservoirs filled and the need to have fire hydrants that work, and you see almost none of that. What on earth has gone on with California?
I used to work for the Forest Service when I was in college. I worked for a U.S. Forest Service and university. They had a program of treating diseased trees. So I know a little bit about forestry and forest management. I had a great boss who was an extraordinary man. And one of the things that he would always point out, be careful when you're in the woods and so forth, but we don't have the kind of situation that California has.
Yeah.
Forests, wherever they are, need to be maintained. And one way you keep fires down, is eliminating the underbrush, one way or another, or how you do it.
Yeah.
But California is a natural desert in that part, in that region. It's a natural desert. And they have mountains close to the sea, which creates tremendous winds. They call them Santa Ana winds out there.
Yeah.
And so it's a fragile environment for mudslides, fires, and earthquakes. It's probably our most beautiful state, maybe clearly in the first place.
Mm-hmm.
But it's also a fragile environment, and I feel sorry for those poor people.
Sure.
Many Christians, I've heard testimonies from many Christians out there, and the churches have just thrown in and are doing all they can to help out many of the churches in the area. So it's people go from rags to riches in a heartbeat. Life is fragile. It's a reminder that we are to number our days. What is the verse, "So teach us, Lord, to number our days that we might apply our hearts to wisdom"? We really don't have as much control as we think we do.
No.
We have tremendous technology today, but an earthquake or a fire or even natural disaster, not just natural disasters, but disasters that we make, war and just the foundation to be removed quickly and immediately. So in 2025, as the world gets smaller and smaller and shrinks due to technology and speed that we have, it's to remember that we're still very fragile. Our existence is fragile. Our anchor alone is in the living God.
Yes.
And I think that we have to remember that more than ever about this. I was reading, well, actually, my wife read something to me the other day, and I picked it up, and I thought this was very good about entering into 2025 and so forth. It's from the Proverbs chapter 30, and listen to what the wisdom writer writes. Two things I ask of you, O Lord, do not refuse me before I die. Keep falsehood and lies far from me. Give me neither poverty nor riches, but give me only my daily bread. Otherwise, I may have too much and disown you and say, who is the Lord? Or I may become poor and steal and so dishonor the name of my God. We are taught in the Lord's Prayer to pray for each day. And give us this day our daily bread, and lead us not into temptation. Our only anchor is the Lord. And as I get older and older, and I told you off air how old I was, I probably shocked you.
No.
And that becomes more imprinted on my mind as I grow older. The only anchor in life, the only surety in life, is the Lord. And so I look forward to 2025 being anchored deeply in the goodness and grace of our Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
So that's what I think about these fires when they come and take everything you have.
Yes.
They've not taken everything you have because you have the Lord. And those people who are surviving best and doing best out there, I would guess, are people who have that kind of faith.
I think you're right. I happened to see one interview with, I think it was Mel Gibson, and he lost his home. He lost everything. And I was impressed with his response. It was like, well, I had some pipes that were leaking. I don't have to worry about them anymore. he kind of made light of it, you know. And yeah, I know he's rich, but he had a good attitude. He lost everything, and it's something to give us pause. You know, what if I was in his shoes? What if I lost my house and everything? Would I have that attitude? And it was a very Christian attitude. He's a Catholic Christian, as you know, and he's a believer. And I like the work that he's done. I remember back when the boys, our family was growing up, we had the boys, and I think it was back in 2000 or thereabouts, the movie came out, The Patriot. And our boys just loved that program, loved that movie. We, rented the video or whatever and watched it. It was kind of inspiring, really. Well, anyway, today we're talking with Dr. John Vance. And I interrupted you. You were going to say something.
I was going to say, there has been a recent turn of some significant public figures to the Lord.
Yeah.
Now, Mel Gibson has professed his faith for some time. I don't know much about him, but I do know he has. And of course, The Passion of Christ was a risky work for him.
Yes.
In Hollywood, anyway, not with the public. And so I know that he has felt a great conviction about his faith and so forth. So he doesn't hide it. He doesn't put it under a bushel. But there's been a significant turn in a number of people of recent times that I know and read about who've turned to Christ, and almost as if there is a harvest taking place, and that's what
Amen.
I'm hoping for too in 2025.
Amen.
To see a real harvest of people for Christ.
And one question, Pastor Vance, I'm guilty here. I didn't watch the recent statement from Biden but I think you did. How did that go, and what was the content of that, if you don't mind?
Well, I listened to it through. I meant to listen to it. I followed Biden most of his life. I can remember him as a young senator. And so I followed him. I followed him on the Judiciary Committee there in the Senate when he, of course, with Bork, you know, we got the word Bork and all of that.
Yes.
Your audience may not remember that, the younger people in particular, but he was very tough on Judge Bork. And, of course, they eliminated him through the left wing eliminated him through slander, essentially.
Yes. Yeah, it was too bad.
And Judge Thomas as well. Yeah, Judge Thomas as well. What I thought of the speech was that it in some ways, it was a speech that I thought was bitter.
Mm-hmm.
There was a bitterness to the whole tenor of the speech. And it was a bitterness toward, of course, and he was not treated very well by his own party, so I can understand some of the bitterness there. But there's also a bitterness toward the incoming administration. It's quite clear. And he used a word there. He called the entering administration the beginnings of an oligarch. Now, in politics, oligarchy means by a rule by the few, a powerful few. He probably was referring to a plutarchy, which is a ruling by the rich, because he's been railing against the rich a great deal of some of these billionaires helping out in the current administration.
Mm-hmm.
But he had the same thing, too, on his side. It's just that they had the wrong politics, the ones that are helping the president's side now. But George Soros has done as much damage as anybody in the history of America with his money.
He really has,
in my opinion. And so as long as they're the George Soros type, they're Democrats.
Yeah.
We have, you know, we came out of monarchy in England, and democracy was formed. And in fact, we don't even have a democracy. We have what is called a democratic republic.
Mm-hmm.
A republic meaning the representative government. And that was an attempt to keep down the power of the federal government and allow the states to flourish. And it's been a good system. But in recent years, there has been a gravitation of power to Washington, as you well know, and we all well know it, at least since the 1960s. It's since Lyndon Johnson, there's been an enormous, well, maybe back to Roosevelt, enormous influence coming from Washington, a lot of power there. But that's just the way life is in the modern world, and I'm hoping that the current administration will begin to turn that away, and I have good hopes that some of these rich people that Biden was talking about will use their influence to turn authority and power back to the states.
Yeah.
And that will be good for the country.
Yes. Those who are blessed with funds can use it for evil or for good. And we've seen that with Soros. He's used it for evil, and it's very satanic, really, some of the things that he's done. I'm hoping for the best with some of the new leadership and those with influence, that they will use their funding for good. Anything else about Mr. Biden and what he had to say?
The bitterness.
Yes.
You know, he's an older man. He's close to my age.
Mm-hmm.
And he's turned bitter.
Yeah.
And he's turned bitter at a time in his life when I think that it will affect him going forward more than he realizes. I know he's in decline. There's no question about that in my mind. I don't know what other people think, but I definitely think that he is in decline mentally.
Yeah.
But this will accelerate. Marlene and I were talking about my wife, Marlene. We were talking about how long, what will he do after his 50 years in Washington? Well, I think he's going to decline quickly due to the bitterness and things like that. I was a pastor for 40 years. I watched people in their elder years and their attitude makes all the difference.
Amen. Yes. Well, one of the things I like about you is that you are positive and encouraging, and you think of the good of others before you think of yourself, and that's a wonderful thing for a pastor. Well, thanks for those comments. I appreciate it. Our discussions always go very fast. We've only got a few minutes left. We've touched upon a couple of things that are on the top of our minds. And I also see a disparity, Pastor Vance. We were talking about the fire in Southern California and a disparity in terms of the media and the response, the FEMA, all that, as we compare that with the Western North Carolina and the severe flooding that wiped out whole areas and homes floating down a river and people completely disrupted. And a lot of these people are stuck out in the snow right now in a tent. We have not treated them well. Our government has not treated them well. And so there's kind of a disparity. I'm concerned how that it's not equal justice for all, put it that way.
Well, anyone who's hoping for equal justice in contemporary America is smoking something.
Yeah.
There hasn't been on the political scene. There's no question that we've had lawfare in this country against political enemies that we perceive to be enemies. There's no question that North Carolina did not receive the same treatment as the people have in California. And God bless those people in California. They need all the help they can get.
Sure.
But so do the people in North Carolina. That whole western part, I know that fairly well there. I went to school in the South, and I used to drive down through Virginia into North Carolina, Tennessee, into South Carolina where I went to school, and depending on which road I took. But that's rearranged, that whole area around Asheville, North Carolina. The landscape has been rearranged.
Yes.
The water is something else. And those floods were tremendous. Rivers that were 8 and 10 feet deep turned into 40 and 50 foot deep waterways and spread out four and five times their banks, the width of it. So it rearranged the terrain there and the landscape. So, no, they have not gotten the kind of help that they need, for sure.
No.
Thank God, by the way, for Samaritan's Purse. They've certainly been on the scene.
You read my mind.
In both places.
Yes, and these private organizations, my hat is off to them. That's where the real help came. Well, we're out of time already for this episode. Pastor Vance, thank you for joining us today, and we hope that you make it through the winter with flying colors, that you and your wife stay safe. And do you have any final word of encouragement for our listeners today?
Well, I'm a very optimistic person. I've never really been a pessimist. I don't know whether that's just a disposition or not, but I think it's rooted in my faith in Christ.
Amen.
That he's in charge. And because the Lord is in charge, I never really have an outlook that's down. I've been blessed that way, and I hope that people can understand that life is very simple. In one hand, it's not what the future holds for us, as the old saying goes. It's knowing Him who holds the future, and that's where our hope is, and that's where our confidence is going forward.
Amen. Our precious guest today has been Dr. John Vance, former pastor of Westminster Presbyterian Church, Rock Tavern, New York, now living in West Virginia. Pastor Vance, may God bless you and your wife, and thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you for having me, Dan.
Dear listener, please join us next week for another edition of A Plain Answer.